Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we have had some challenges today, and I tell you, the enemy has tried to come against this broadcast today, but we claim Jesus, and we fight, and we push to the end. When the Lord God says, it is finished, then it is finished. I tell you, God is a good God, and we are going to continue to press forth with our broadcast. And the broadcast has had some challenges where we tap into our, or host our broadcast, should I say, Mission from the Heart Radio. And so the technical support department, praise God, has worked these problems out for us. So we are starting a little bit late, but it's not late in God's, according to God's will. So we will just continue to air our broadcast concerning treasures in His Word. So I just want to thank you for being faithful, and thank you for being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a special guest that is with us in this broadcast, but as long as she doesn't have any technical difficulties with her system and being with us on this broadcast, then I asked her to definitely share with us in a lesson concerning treasures in His Word. And I tell you, we're going to be in treat as she blesses us with what the Holy Spirit has revealed through her. And she's a sister in Christ of ours, and her name is Michelle Galtney. And I tell you, she is a wonderful woman of God who truly is on fire and loves the Lord. And I just pray that she is able to get through to the broadcast so that we can truly enjoy what the Lord has to share or reveal to us. And I just want to introduce her as she, is with us on the broadcast. So, Michelle, if you could give us a little bit about yourself. But before I go there, I just want those who were able to get in, if you could give us a call at the number, or on this particular number, 646-378-0392. And I just want to say that number one more time, 646-378-0392. And that will get you to the broadcast, and you can listen to the broadcast live. And if you're on the internet, praise God that you are able to get into the broadcast and listen to it. So, again, I thank you for your faithfulness and your diligence to be with us. We have a treat, and I tell you, she is a blessing to not only the broadcast, but she is a blessing to all of us because she is yielding the Holy Spirit and doing with what God has placed on her heart to do for this evening. So my special guest is no stranger to me, but Michelle Galtney is, I just want you to give us a little bit about our, about yourself, and then we are going to be super excited about starting this lesson, Treasures in His Word. So Michelle, if you could let those faithful listeners know a little bit about you.
All righty. Definitely good evening, and definitely to the woman of God, Sister Carnita, that is definitely making this opportunity possible. I am Michelle Galtney. I've been in the ministry since 1999. And the way I started ministering, of course, when I was young, I accepted Christ. And long story short, I ended up going to graduate school, and I lived in Phoenix. And I went to a particular church, and I was given the opportunity to do a short talk. And then it just kind of, the Lord just kind of impressed upon me and pushed me that he wanted me to, you know, to a higher calling. And from there, I've been, you know, sharing the gospel. And I've just wanted to deal with treasures in his word, because God has has outlined uniquely in his word, and it's a matter of us getting in there and digging out and finding that treasure. And that's what I want. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, and that's what I wanted to share with others on tonight. And so, of course, we're going to get right into, you know, go ahead and get into our lesson, and we'll go as far as time permits for us to go. And so, of course, as Sister Smith has already said, that we want to deal with treasures in God's word. And when I begin to think about this, to think about that, all of us throughout our lifetime, whether we're young or we're old, we have had some experience with pirates. And particularly, I can remember, like yesterday, that no matter what capacity I saw a pirate on TV, one thing that I did remember is that the pirate was always after a map. And the reason why the pirate wanted that map is that he was looking for direction because he wanted to find a treasure. And so, believe it or not, that's the way I view the Bible, and that's the way I believe most believers view the Bible, is that we understand that the Bible, you know, is our basic instruction before leaving Earth. In fact, it is our roadmap to God's treasures. And so in these last days, especially with things that we have experienced, with rulings that have come down from the Supreme Court, things that we face in life, we know as believers that it's important for us to explore God's word so that we can be able to defend our faith and so we can be able to win souls to Christ, which he definitely commissioned us to do in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. And so we know that God wants us to tell them about Jesus Christ. And so in addition to him wanting us, calling us, the other reason why we want to dig into his treasures is that sometimes when we look at the word of God, it seems like it's mysterious, or sometimes it seems like it may be difficult to understand. Sometimes it can even be challenging. But as you become a student of the Bible, you begin to relate, you begin to think about what is God, you know, trying to say. And I'm hoping in our lesson tonight that we would discover treasures. Of course, God's word, you can never exhaust the word of God. That's what's so awesome about his word, because you can never exhaust his word. But we're going to look at a few passages on tonight, and we're going to hopefully dive into it and find some treasures in his word. So if we can begin, I'm going to ask Sister Smith we're going to go to Psalms 119.
Psalms 119 seems to be an extremely long psalm, isn't it?
It is. It is. I believe it has 176 verses in Psalms 119. And actually, it's a beautiful passage of scripture that deals with God's law and his treasures that you can find law and the benefits of God's word.
Psalms 119
and
105, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Okay. And it reads this way: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Amen. And that's Amen. Definitely why we need the word of God, because without the word of God, we cannot walk. We do not have life to our path. And so we've got to discover those treasures that we will be able to walk in his word. Let's jump over to Psalms 119:18.
119:18 reads this way, and this is in the New King James Translation. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law.
Amen. And that is our, you know, that is one of our, you know, that's our theme verse. That's who we base finding treasures in his word on, is that we need God to open up our eyes, because as we mentioned earlier, sometimes it seems challenging, or sometimes we're going through things in life and we need to be able to see. And we know that in the New Testament, it talks about how Satan wants to blind the minds of the people, that they won't discover or realize who Jesus Christ is. And so even as believers, we're constantly asking God to give us wisdom, because he says if any man lack wisdom, that he ought to ask of God, and that God will freely give it to us. But there are some things that we have to do so that we can dig in and investigate and find those treasures in the word of God. Amen? Amen. So
Amen.
Here we go. So let's get right in. Let's go ahead and get started. And as I said, we'll go as far as time permits, and then we'll deal with it when time is up. We'll see where we are. But first, what we're going to do, if you are taking notes, I love to, with finding his treasures, of course, I love to, every time when we're dealing with the word of God, I like to allow the word of God to feed us and to show us exactly what his word is saying. Anything that we do, we want it to be based on his word. And so if you are taking notes, I would ask that you get 3 sheets of paper. And this is just to ensure you may not use all of the sheets, but this is just to ensure that you have an adequate amount of space. And so at the top of page 1, I want you to write the word observation, the word observation. Because the first thing we're going to do is we're going to discover God's treasures in his words. We've got to make some observations. So our first point, we're going to deal with observations. Okay. Then on the second page, at the top of the second page, we want you to write the word investigation. So again, at the top of the second page, we want you to write the word investigation. Because after you make some observations, you've got to do some investigating if you're going to find the God's treasures in his word. And then on page 3, you're going to actually write 2 words, but they go hand in hand. And the 2 words for page 3 are going to be alliteration, and then I want you to put / application. Again, that's alliteration, and then you're going to put / application. And so these are the 3 things that we want to look at, that if we conduct these 3 things, we conduct this investigation, we should be able to find God's treasures in his word. And when I was thinking about this lesson, one of the things I thought about is I recall in school that they had what is called the scientific method. And when you were going to do a science experiment, you had to come up with an hypothesis. You had to make some observations. You had to ask the question as to what am I trying to find. And believe it or not, if we're going to find God's treasures in his words, these are the same type of questions we have to ask ourselves, and God will begin to reveal himself to us through his word. Amen? All right, so we have our observation. We have our investigation, and then we have our alliteration / application, right? Let's go ahead and deal with observation. Okay. Observation, dictionary.com defines observation as an act or instance of viewing or noting a fact or occurrence from some scientific or other special purpose. So in other words, when you look up the word observation, it's basically saying that you're viewing or you're trying to notice a fact or something about whatever you're reviewing. Like, for example, if you want to find God's treasures in his word, then we have to view the scripture as if we're looking for something. So in other words, I'm not just going to pick up the Bible and I'm just reading it as if I'm just reciting words, But when I'm reciting those words, I'm going to be looking for something because I'm trying to make an observation. And seeing there's, and what I begin to think about is you have to, if you can equate it to, there's nothing like an authentic man who notices, you know, alterations on a woman. I'm married, so when I get my hair done or I go to the salon or maybe even if I get my nails done or I'm wearing a new dress, I expect Mr. Galtney to take notice on how good I look. And if he doesn't notice those things, then, of course, I would, you know, have a problem. And not saying that God will have a problem with us, but I just believe that when we read God's word, he wants us to notice his treasures in his word. And everything that God does is never done by accident. Oftentimes when I'm teaching or we're studying the word of God, I'm reminded of even in our private time when we just simply open up our Bible and we turn to a particular scripture, that we don't act just accidentally fall upon a particular scripture. I believe God leads you directly to what you need, because our God is sovereign and he's always intentional and he never does anything, you know, by accident. So as we begin to look into the word and we begin to make observations of the word, the thing is we should be asking a certain question. And that question we should be asking ourselves is, go ahead now, is what do I see? So in observation, basically, you're saying, what do I see? When I read this scripture, when I read this text, what do I see? What do I literally see? And when we think about what do I see, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. I mean, everything falls under this umbrella. Maybe if you're an English person or you like English, then you may pay attention to that there are commas, there's semicolons, there are colons, maybe every single detail, whatever draws your attention, you want to begin to make an observation about that thing. So let's get into a scripture so that we can apply what we're saying to this particular point. Let's go to Psalms 23. And I'm going to ask Sister Smith when she finds Psalms 23 that we're going to read verse 1 through 6. So let's go to Psalms 23.
All right.
Psalms 23, verse 1.
And it reads this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Mm-hmm.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his mm-hmm. name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, mm-hmm. for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the
mm-hmm.
presence of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
For you anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So when we look at Psalms 23, what I begin to do is I say, okay, just looking on the surface, as I begin to observe Psalms 23, when I make my observation, what I see is the Lord is. And actually, initially, I was thinking that the Lord is. It really only says the Lord is one time in that whole passage of Scripture. At the end, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. But David here is trying to point our attention to the Lord is. And we notice that just by observing what it says, just literally looking at it. Not only do we see the Lord is, but then also, when we keep reading, David don't say the Lord is again. He just used the word he, and he uses the word you. He also used the word thou. And so David is saying, hey, the Lord is all of these things that are listed. And then he begins to say, Lord, because I know that you are these things, And then finally, what we notice is that David constantly uses the word I and he used the word me. And so just on the surface, by observing what he is saying, we see that David's primary theme of Psalms 23 is the Lord. And as he continued to say, he keeps saying it's he and it's you. And then we also see not only is David saying that it's about the Lord, but David is also saying, hey, when he keeps saying I and me, he's saying that this psalm is all about me. And so just by making that observation, we can take ourselves and we can put ourselves in David's shoes, and we begin to realize that when it boils down to finding God's treasures, it's about God and it's about me. That everything that we do in my life, it boils down to me and my God. And I began to think about that song. I believe it was De La Soul that said, it's just me, myself, and I. I thought about that song. But if we look here in Psalms 23 and see what David is saying, not just is it me, myself, and I, but David is saying, it's me, my God, and I. Amen? David is saying, just by Psalms 23, we see that this is about the Lord. We haven't done anything hard. All I do, I'm just looking at the scripture. What do I see? I see the Lord is, and it's about me. It's about my God. Amen. And it's about I. Amen. 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 Our next scripture, I see that we are probably approaching near our time. And so, Sister Smith, do you have anything you want to?
Yes. Well, Sister Michelle, we're going to extend this because of our technical difficulty that we had about 23 minutes into the broadcast. So we are going to faithfulness in serving the Lord through this broadcast. So you continue to teach your lesson because this is so good.
Okay. All right. Well, just interject anytime. Let me know. Okay. All right. So here we see David just on surface. Now let's look at another passage. Let's go to Sister Smith. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to read verse 16 and 17. Still talking about making observations.
And so Isaiah
54, verse 16 and 17.
Okay. And it reads this way: see, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, who forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created and created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail.
You will refute every tongue
that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me.
Amen. Declares the Lord. Amen. And so here we see that this is the Lord. Just looking at, what do I see? I see the Lord is saying these things. I see the Lord is saying, hey, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. Because God is saying, I am the one that have created those things. Now, on the surface, when we think about, God, what are you saying to me? You mean to tell me that you are the one that has created the blacksmith? He says, I created the blacksmith that bloweth coals in the fire so he can bring forth an instrument for his work. He says, I am the one that created the waster to destroy. And so we know the children of Israel in their time had a difficult time obeying God. God would deliver them and bring them out, and they would go back to their former lifestyle. And so God was always trying to push them back towards him through trials and through through other nations taking over them. And so what God is saying here is he is encouraging them. It's like, look, don't necessarily look at the enemy like it's the enemy that's doing it to you, but see it that I am doing it to you. And so as believers, when we're trying to find God, when we're investigating, when we're doing observations, and we're noticing that, hey, it's not necessarily the person that we're going against. It's not necessarily the things that affect us on our job, but it's what is God doing? What is God trying to show me in his word? What is God trying to show me in this situation? And so here we see a blacksmith, we see a waster, and we see that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Observation. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Of course, as we said before, this minute scripture, all kind of treasures in God's word. But I just thought Amen. About these day and time, the things that we have to experience, that there are some things we have to experience, and we have to know that the Lord is our shepherd. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:5.
And it reads this way. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may be we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen. That the Lord is again. Amen. Amen. The Lord is. Amen. That the Lord is. Amen. And so here, as we make an observation, it's interesting here in Hebrews, as we see it, if you read it in the English Standard Translation, it talks about to be free from the love of money. So as we're looking at this, and we're just talking about just on the surface, what do we see? Then it makes you begin to question and to think about, well, what does my conversation have to do with my covenant? You know, what does my conversation, what does me being free from the love of money have to do with me being content with what I already have? And then not only do we see that he's talking about our conversation and us not coveting and being content with what we already have, but on the surface we see here as we make an observation, he says, why should we be able to do these things? It's because God will never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I mean, that's the basic, you know, principle, especially, you know, in this day and time. You know, we see that a lot of us, or a lot of people are strapped, you know, financially. It seems like the more you try to press or the more you try to come out, that there are other things that come up. But is it really that we don't have what we need, or is it really, you know, our love or desire for things beyond what God has said is in his will for us? And so, you know, as we're making these type of observations, we have to remember that I don't have to covet what somebody else has, because my God will always be with me, and he'll never leave me. And when we get to that point, what we see when we get to that point, it says then when we get to verse 6, then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, because I've learned, like Paul, to be content in every state that I'm in. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Observation, just looking at my conversation. It's connected, you know, how is my conversation connected to my love, you know, of my money and being content? Amen. One more for observation. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let's back up just one chapter. And we'll read verse 1 and 2.
And it reads this way. And this is in the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he is seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. And verse 3, think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you don't become weary and give up. Amen.
King James Version says, so you won't become weary and get faint in your minds. Amen. Just looking, just observing, just reading God's word, just seeing, you know, what he says. Here we see that there's so much meat in just these three verses. I mean, of Hebrews chapter 12. There's so much meat there. There's so many treasures there. But God tells us, if we just look on the surface, he tells us, hey, we've got witnesses. He tells us, hey, we need to lay aside our weight. We need to lay aside our sin, because there is a race that has been set before us. And even when we get weary in our well-doing, we get weary in running this race, he tells us, look, you don't have to do it by yourself, but you look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, because he shows us how to run this race. Amen? Just observing what the treasures of God tells us. So let's recap really quickly observation. So just on the surface, if we're recapping observation, we see, number one, in Psalms, that David is showing us who the Lord is. Number two, we see Isaiah is explaining how weapons are formed against us, but those weapons will not necessarily prosper. Amen? Or in other words, those weapons won't necessarily kill us or take us out, which we're going to read that in a second. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 3, and what's interesting about the book of Hebrews, which is kind of moving ahead into our investigation part, but what's interesting about the book of Hebrews is that the author, in my study, and I found that the author really is unknown. Like, we really don't know who the author is. But what we do know is that the author is addressing the saints. And he's telling them, look, don't worry about your money. Just stay faithful to the things that God has called you to do. And then lastly, we see in chapter 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, he's saying that, look, he's saying that, look, prior to this, which is prior to him telling them not to be content with the things that they've already had, he's telling them, look, you've got to run the race that is set before you, because God has placed others to show us or to give us examples on how to run. And so that's just our observation. These are the things that we notice. And if we're going to dig out the treasures of God, we've got to slow down when we're reading the Word of God. And we've got to pay attention just to what we see, because I believe we'll be blessed by just the simple things, by just the things that we see. And oftentimes, I believe no matter where you are in your life, God will show you exactly what you need. I'm reminded of a time in my life when I was going through some things, going through some emotional things, some emotional, you know, trials, dealing with, you know, trying to push past needing the approval of people or needing the approval or wondering what other people say. And when I opened up the Word of God, the Word plainly said to me, take heed to yourself. And so God was saying, look, stop putting take your eyes off the creature and put your eyes on the Creator, and you take heed to the that I've given you. You take heed to the teachings that I've taught you so that it will be a blessing to you and it'll save the souls of others. And that's why God wants us to get in his word and find his treasures, because when he illuminates those things to us, it rejuvenates us so that we're excited to run and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. When we make those observations. Amen. Amen. So here we go, investigation. So not only do we have our observation, but then we also have our investigation. Amen. And when you are conducting an investigation, what you have to do is you have to say, okay, what did I see in the book? What did I observe in the book? And now I have to say, and now I have to figure out, well, what does that actually mean? Well, why are those treasures? Why are those things there? Why are those things there for me to see? Amen. So, in other words, as you can see, when we are investigating something, you go a little further. So I go past just what I see, and I go a little further, and I try to find out, well, what are the facts? What has happened that has led us to this particular point? What has happened that will lead me to believe that the things that I see are there in the Word? What has happened to make me appreciate the treasures as to what God is saying in His Word? And so sometimes we've got to find out the facts by defining the words. As students of the Word of God, we have to understand that some passages in Scripture, that they lose, that well, not necessarily lose, but some passages in Scripture have a deeper meaning in their original translation. And so in the Old Testament, the Bible deals with the Hebrew language, and in the New Testament, it deals with the Greek language. And so not that you have to be a rocket scientist or not that you have to be really smart, you just have to do a little digging and investigating so that you can pull out the treasures of God, so that you can go back to and you can see what God is trying to show you in this passage about Himself. Amen? To reveal Himself to you. So can we go back to Psalms 23?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go back to Psalms 23. So now we've observed what we've seen in Psalms 23. So now let's do a little investigating. Like, what are the facts? What are the facts behind this particular verse? What do you think? I'm going to ask Sister Smith to chime in here. What place do you think David was in his life in this particular passage?
I think that David was in a place in his life where we know history concerning David running from Saul. And you can find the story of David in 1 and 2 Samuel. So I encourage you to read those two particular books for those who are listening. But concerning this passage, I just believe that David came to a point in his life where he just told God who he was, and he told him that he was the shepherd of his life. And I believe he understood that when he wrote this psalm. And just to hear him cry out to God, telling him who he is and what he will do for his sheep is just a blessing. And it's comforting to know and encouraging to know that with what he believed is the same thing that we are to believe, and we have comfort in this promise.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's why it's a treasure. Amen, that's why it's a treasure, because I believe I don't care, you can be the strongest, so you think, you know, believer or the strongest person, but life is just designed for us to have those vulnerable moments. And there's nothing like Psalms 23 reminding you of that the Lord is. Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I agree, you know, I agree like you, when we do some investigation, we begin to see that David talks about the Lord being his shepherd. And so when we begin to investigate and we think about it, just as you said in Samuel, if we recall in 1 Samuel, I believe it's 1 Samuel 16, when God told Samuel, okay, now I need you to get up and I need you to stop crying about Saul, because I've already said I'm taking my anointing away from him. When King Saul messed up and he didn't obey God, he went into the kingdom, he didn't kill everybody, he left the king alive, and God said, what have you done? And so anyway, pushing forward, when God told Samuel to get up and let's go, he told him, hey, go to Jesse's house, and when you see the right one, I'm going to show you the right one, you're going to anoint him, and he's going to be king. And so I just believe, as David is thinking about, you know, this psalm, that David remembers, hey, I remember when Samuel came to my daddy's house to anoint, that he went through all of my brothers, and Samuel said unto my father, you have to have another son. And because I don't want to add words to what the word says, but I don't know what they thought about David, but they left him outside tending to the sheep. But even in that, David understood God being the shepherd. Amen? David understood, and that's what he began to talk about. And when we began to investigate those things, we began to see that God puts us in position so that we will understand. He begins to show us his treasure so that we can relate to him, and that everything that happened in our lives is for a reason. Amen? We might not have been tending to sheep, but we understand that a shepherd knows how to care for the sheep. And oftentimes I'm reminded that even in our disobedience, it said that what a shepherd does is that even when the sheep is disobedient, that if the sheep continues to run off, that the shepherd would get that lamb. He would break the legs of the sheep, and then he would take the sheep and he would put it on his shoulder and carry it around. And it says that until the sheep gets healed, that the shepherd carries the sheep around. It cares for him. And once he does that, the sheep don't have no problem. The shepherd doesn't have an issue with this particular lamb or the sheep running off anymore because they've learned their lesson. And I just believe that's the same thing with us, that sometimes things happen in our life because God, we have to slow down enough so that we can be in a position to begin to really be nurtured and nourished by God. And I believe if we investigate and we see that David knew that. I also thought about that, you know, we knew that David understood what it is to be a shepherd because he told Saul. He said, look, when Saul tried to tell David, hey, are you just a boy? You can't go up against Goliath. And David began to say, hey, look, I remember when I was tending to my father's flock. And when I was tending to my father's flock, he said, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, he said, I went after him. And I took the lamb out of his mouth. David understood that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so when he is talking about the Lord is my shepherd, he recognized that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He takes care of the sheep. And so as we're studying God's word, we've got to get into investigate, go back and do some background knowledge. Like, where was David? What's going on in his life so that we can recognize that David, I believe, relates to a lot of us, you know, today. And then not only did David say, okay, he's the shepherd, but then I like when David talks about how he restores my soul. And if you recall that, you know, David found himself in some place where he fell from grace. He hooked up with Bathsheba. He had a husband killed, and he lost his son. But if we look here in verse 3, we see that but David says, but he restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And as a believer, we have to believe that God has begun a work inside of us and that he intends to finish that work, not because I'm great, but he's going to lead us to righteousness for his name's sake. Amen? Amen. So we've got to do some investigating in the word of God. Amen? Amen. And David says he is my shepherd. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's look at Isaiah 54. Let's go back to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. And so we'll go back to Isaiah 54 and 16. We noticed that there was a smit, there was a waster, and then he said there is no weapon that is formed against us. And so what we have to do here is that we always like to jump to, oh, and no weapon formed, you know, against us, you know, shall prosper. But even in that, we've got to go a little further, and we've got to see what is God's intended purpose. Like, what is God's intended purpose? Why did he say no weapon formed? He didn't say no weapon wasn't going to come against us. It said that weapon would prosper, which means that there are going to be some things that we've got to face in this life. We know that. We remember Job. We remember, you know, Paul. We remember the disciples in the New Testament. I believe in our Sunday school lesson now, that's what we're talking about. We're learning how the disciples had to endure tribulation because they were preaching the message of Jesus Christ. And so here we have to see, so we love to jump to the good part, but we also have to take some time, is what is he talking about, this Smith? We've got to do some investigating. And so one of the things we do when we're investigating is a key thing that you want to do is you want to look at defining what a word means, because that begins to help your understanding so that you can relate to what the word is saying. And so if we look up the word blacksmith, we discover that a blacksmith is a person who makes things such as tools, or they make horseshoes with iron. And really they operate with all kinds of metals. If you can recall, I remember, you know, if you can recall, even now or even when we were younger, you would see on TV, you would see like cowboys on TV. They would have a rod or a piece of iron, and you would see them holding it into the fire. And on television, it would show them they hold it into the fire until it becomes red. And then once the piece of iron or that metal becomes red, we begin to discover that now it's soft enough to bend or take on the shape that the designer is trying to make. And so what it's saying is sometimes the heat has to be turned up on us so that God can shape and mold us into the person that he's already predestined for us to become. Because it says he's predestined us in Romans chapter 8. It says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so if we investigate and think about that, they turn up the heat so that they can shape the metal. Another example of what a blacksmith does is a blacksmith takes gold and he puts the gold in the fire. And you would say, okay, gold, if we're trying to get pure gold, if we want to have gold, we know gold is precious. Why do we want to put it in the fire? What the smith does is he takes the gold and he puts it in the fire and he heats the gold up. He heats the gold up very, very, very high, makes it really hot. And then what he begins to do is the more he heats the gold up, I'm told that the impurities begin to rise to the top. And so as the impurities begin to rise to the top, the blacksmith goes over, he scrapes the impurities off the top of the gold, and then I'm told he looks over into the gold because he wants to know if he sees his image in the gold. And that's the same thing God does with us. All God wants to do, he wants us to get his treasures. And matter of fact, we are his treasures. He wants us to get the treasures in his word because he wants to be able to see his image in our lives. Amen. So sometimes the winds blow, the waves seem like they're coming over on the side of the ship. It seems like sometimes, like life, it seems like life is winning. But God is really winning because he wants to take out all the old things, all the things that lead us, all the weights, all the sins that's so easy to set us. He wants to take those things out because he wants to put in new things. And James tells us that the trying of our faith produces patience. And so we see investigating lets us understand that, just like the songwriter says, that I've gone, like the songwriter says, that though the storms keep on raging in our life, and sometimes it is hard to tell the night from day, but then we have to remember that the hope that lies within, it reassures. As we keep our eyes upon the distant shore, we know God himself will lead us safely to the blessed place that he has prepared. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God will lead us.
You know, Sister Michelle, I think this is a beautiful resting place. Resting place to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who may be listening to this broadcast.
Amen.
Via the World Wide Web, that we would extend Jesus to them by praying with them. them, for them, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And
amen.
This, I think we should do this right now. I just believe that this is a beautiful spot to just rest for a moment, that we could extend the our Lord and Savior. So would you like to pray a prayer of salvation as our other brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come together in like-mindedness and pray with you, that somebody that you may know, lift them up in prayer, that they would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would know that Jesus is pursuing them and calling them unto him. So if you will, pray with us as we pray for them, and lift that individual up in prayer. Call them by name, that they would have a hunger and a desire to surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Sister Michelle, if you could go ahead and pray a prayer of salvation for someone who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin.
Amen. Let's bow. Oh, our heavenly and precious Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. God, we just thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you, God, for giving us your treasures and showing us your treasures, God, in your word. God, we thank you, God, for your rubies and your diamonds that are in your word that oftentimes we miss. And then, God, we come, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, as we have expounded on your word, and we've recognized, God, that you are our shepherd, that we shall not want, that, God, we need you in every aspect of our lives. God, we come praying for our brothers, and we come praying for our sisters. God, we come praying, God, if there's someone out there, God, who does not know you as a pardon of their Savior, that, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, as we are praying unto you, we are coming to you, God, in agreement. God, we believe, God, that you are in the midst, God, it says, where two or three are gathered in your name, that, God, you would be in the midst. And so, God, we just believe and we thank you, God, for those who you've placed on their heart on tonight, that they will tune in, God, to hear your word, to be reminded of, God, that you're waiting with open arms. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that, God, that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior, that, God, that they would pray that, Lord, I am a sinner, and God, without you, I cannot make it. And that, God, if I was to pass away on tonight, God, I'm not sure where my soul would be. But on tonight, God, you've allowed me to hear your word. You've allowed me to hear from your spirit. You've allowed me to experience your power, God, through the power of your word. And so, God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to come into my life. God, I want to accept you as my Savior. God, I would like for my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life as I believe, God, that you came to this earth, God, and you lived and you died, you were crucified, and that on the third day you were raised up. God gave all power and authority in your hand. And so, God, that's reason enough to believe that I cannot make it without you if you're not my Savior. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just continue, God, to bless your people, God. Continue to just touch your people, God. Continue, God, those who need to be encouraged, God, we pray that you would encourage them right now in the name of Jesus, that they will remember, God, like David, God, that no matter what I do or what I go through or what I experience, God, that you will be with them always, that you will be with them, God. You will be with us in the valley of the shadow of death, that, God, you will be with us, God, if we are by the still waters, God. You will be with us, God, if we find ourselves in storms. God, you will be with us, God, if we need our minds to be regulated, if we need our minds to be transformed. And God, you are with us. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, we thank you, God, tonight, God, for anyone, God, who has accepted you as their Savior, God, who has asked you to come into their heart. And, God, we pray, God, that it just don't be words, God, that are spoken by their lips, but, God, that inside of their soul, inside of their spirit, God, that you will confirm that you have, that they are yours and that they belong to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I just believe that this was a beautiful resting place for us to just extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone. And I just hope that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that you would get into a Bible teaching church and be discipled and enjoy Sunday school with other brothers and sisters in Christ with the saints, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, that you would be discipled, that you would grow and go and share your transformation with somebody. Let them know that you are a Christ follower and be baptized. Hallelujah. And we just thank you for extending your heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the best thing that you could have ever done. So, sister,
Amen.
Let's continue in our lesson, and let's continue to move forward. So we still have yet time, and this has just been a beautiful journey through the treasures in the scripture. So let's continue to move.
Let's continue. Okay. All righty. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 13.
Hebrews 13.
Amen. Hebrews 13, we're in 5 and 6. And, of course, the King James verse says that your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things as you have. And so as we continue to look into the Word, and here it's interesting that we saw through our observations that there is a link between the love, our love of money, and our conversation. And in other translations, it says our conversations, and in another one, it says the love of money. And so as we begin to investigate this passage, we notice that the author was talking to believers who were experiencing financial difficulties as they continued to spread the gospel. And so the author here is just encouraging the believers not to get caught up in what you see others have, but to be grateful for what you have. Because the truth is that God will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you, and God really is worth more than gold. That having him is more important than all the riches in the world. We know that I'm just reminded of the rich young ruler when he was telling God. He said, hey, I kept your commandments. He asked God, what must I do to be saved? And and Jesus was telling him that he had to keep the commandments. And so the rich young ruler, he got excited. Oh, I love my, love thy God with all my heart. I obey my parents. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't kill. And Jesus told him the one thing that you have to do is sell all your goods and restore them unto the poor. And the Bible says that the rich young ruler walked away sad, because he said he was real rich. And so that just goes to tell us it's not about riches, but the greatest treasure we can receive is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. And our conversation has to move from simply the surface things of the world, and we have to move to and understand that every position Christ has me in, it's for a reason. That's why he's our shepherd. Amen. That's why he leads us. Besides the waters, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes you like that tree, like the tree in Psalms 1. It says, and he shall be like a tree if we meditate in God's word that's planted by the rivers of water. Amen. His leaf shall not wither, but he shall bring forth fruit in his what? In his season. So whatever your season is. And so we have to believe that whatever our season is, that God is going to keep us and to bless us. Amen. And especially, in these times, we have to remember God's word. We have to remember that God's word still has the power to save, that the power of the gospel, there's still power in the word of God. Amen. There's still power. So we have to continue to investigate and figure out, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to relate unto your people, God, so that they too may become saved? Because we know that there are all kind of things out there in the world that are making people believe that what we have, we can't be content with what we have because it's not enough. But God is saying it is enough. Amen. What we really have, it is enough. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This this is going to bring us to, I tell you, I do not want to let this lesson go. And Sister Michelle, you have got to finish this teaching lesson on another broadcast, because although we've gotten through the first two points, we have got to come back. You have got to come mm-hmm. back and complete this lesson, because it is so rich and it is so full of beautiful, sweet treasures and nuggets that we can definitely grow from. And unfortunately, the hour has come for us to end mm-hmm. this particular broadcast, but we have got to finish this. If you could promise me that you would come back and complete Treasures in His Word to where we can pick up where we left off, because I do not want anybody to lose sight of this lesson and how beautifully God wants you to continue to bring us to these beautiful treasures and unpack it and expose and expound us. If you could do that for us again, do you mind?
Yes, ma'am. I will. I don't mind. But I can complete the lesson on
praise. Okay, well, we will definitely have you on next broadcast, which we will be here again, going through this Treasures in His Word by Michelle Gottlieb, and we will pick up part two to this teaching track, and we will bring this lesson again. She will be with us on next Thursday, and please, if you missed any portion of this broadcast, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/2heartmfth. And that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. I tell you, and just share this broadcast with someone that you know would be enriched, would be fulfilled, would be delighted and blessed by this particular teaching track, Treasures in His Word. And we will pick this up again on next broadcast, which would be next Thursday, and we will conclude it. And it's filled with a treat. And I just thank you, Sister Michelle, for being on this broadcast, for bringing us a beautiful banquet table with the riches and the nuggets and the beautiful gems and diamonds that just pop out of His scriptures. And so now you will definitely delight us on part two of this teaching track, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Oh,
man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm
Treasures in His Word. Amen.
Amen. And again, share this broadcast. You send us a message. Let us know how this has blessed you and delighted your soul. Or even if you've sent this or shared this with someone else, let us know. Communicate with us via email on the broadcast. There is a link there or a tab there that you could click on and email us. Shoot us an email and let us know how this broadcast has blessed you. But again, Treasures in His Word has been something that Sister Michelle has been, I guess, moved in her heart to share with us concerning God's Word. And I tell you, it has been truly a blessing to listen to that. I couldn't take enough notes. My fingers have just been writing everything you've been saying, Michelle, and I thank you so much for that.
Amen.
So is there anything that you would like to say to those that listen faithfully to this broadcast and letting them know that we will be meeting again?
Amen. I just, you know, just so grateful, you know, to God for, you know, the opportunity and to be able, you know, to share. And that this ministry definitely and truly is, you know, a blessing that you all are taking, you know, taking the time from week to week to, you know, to dig into God's Word, to take time to study God's Word and to be a blessing you know, to those out there, you know, who are listening, to those, you know, women, to those, you know, men, you know, who are looking for, you know, a word from the Lord. And so I applaud you all, and I'm so very grateful and encouraged, you know, to, hey, that we have to be about God's business, because ultimately he requires for us to share the, you know, to share the gospel out into the world. And so
amen.
I'm grateful. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Well, thank you again. And this brings us to the end of our broadcast. Thank you so much, Sister Michelle, for your faithfulness to God's word and to the call. And always remember that the flowers faded. And the grass withered, but the flowers fade away, but the word of God remains forever and ever. And
amen.
Thank you, and God bless, and have a blessed week in Sunday service, and always know that the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior is always upon you. And thank you so much for listening to Mission from the Heart broadcast.
Amen. Good night.